So this week is Parshas Kisetze, begins Kisetze la melchom aleivecho, when you go out to war against your enemy. Unasonoi Hashem lekecha biyodecha, and God puts the enemy into your hands, v'shavisa shivyoi, and you take captive its captives. V'ro'isa v'ashivyo, and you see among the captives, eshes yifastoi, a beautiful woman. V'choshaktebo, and you desire her. V'lokartach le'isha, and you take her to wife. And you bring her home into your house. Vigilchas roishon, she cuts her hair. Vasas tziporneho, and she does her nails. Veisira simla shivya mele, and she removes her captivity garments from on her. Veyoshev veisecho, and she sits in your house. Vachso esovias vesima, and she mourns for her parents. Yerach yomim, for a month. Veachekein tov eleho, then you can really marry her. Vealto, and lie with her. Vehois lecho leish, and she can be your wife. And if after this time you don't want her anymore, then you have to send her away alone, meaning that she now owns herself. You're not allowed to sell her for money. You're not allowed to use her because you have oppressed her. So this is how this seder begins this week with the it's a mitzvah. And yet, what's the mitzvah? There's no mitzvah to go to war. We're not talking about milchemes mitzvah, because if we were talking about those wars that we were commanded, then there's no taking captives and slaves, and you know, we were obliged to kill those seven nations of the land. So we're not talking about a war which is a mitzvah. We're talking about a war that you have to do because of circumstances. So then the mitzvah is this din of the Yifas Toyar, this beautiful woman. So what's the greater mitzvah? What's the big mitzvah? And then, of course, the end of the Sedra is the Parsha of Amalek. Zochor is Asher Oseh Lecha Amalek Baderech. Remember what Amalek did to you on the road. B'tzeisachem Mimitzrayim, when you came out of Egypt, Asher Karocho Baderech. He happened to you on the way. Rashi says the word kara means to happen accidentally, but there are many different explanations. One of the explanations is that he called you off. He called you off on the road. So the Torah commands us, and when God gives you rest from all your enemies around you in the land that God has promised you to inherit, Timchezich Amalek, you have to blot out the name of Amalek mitachas hashemayim, from beneath the heavens, lo tishkach. So there's a connection between the beginning of the Sedra and the end of the Sedra, that they both talk about war. The Reb Leib Eger asks a good question. He says, why in this week's Sedra does it say Kiseitze la melchom alevecho, when you go out to war? And it talks about in the singular, when you singular go out to war against your enemy in the singular and not in the plural. And then back in the book of Numbers, it talked about Kisavoyu melchoma ba'artzechem, when there will come against you in your land war. And it talks about it in the plural. And there it doesn't talk about going out to war. There, when it talks in the plural, it talks about the war coming to you, when the war will come to your land. So he says there are two kinds of war. There's the war, the personal war that each of us has with our inclinations. And then there's the big meta war that the world has with the Jewish people. And that war which the world has with the Jewish people, which is a war of ideas, they wait for it to come to you. Because it comes to you in the klal. It comes to you as a group, and it's an attempt to undermine the faith that we have in God. So wait till it comes to you. Whereas the war that each of us has to wage personally, that's kiseitze lemelchama, then you have to go out to war, and then the promise is when the son Hashem lekecha b'yedecha, that God will put it into your hands. God will give your enemy into your hands. But what I want to talk this week is how different people see the same Torah. So I have in front of me the Toros Emes, which is written by Reb Leib Eger, who was one of the two great students of the Ishbitzer, the Meir Shiloach. The Meir Shiloach left Kotsk. He split with the Kotsk Rebbe and went out on his own and became the Ishbitzer Rebbe. And with him, from Kotsk, he took perhaps the two greatest scholars of that yeshiva and of that generation, Reb Tzodok HaKohen of Lublin and Reb Leib Eger, who later became the Rebbe of Lublin. So you would expect that Reb Leib Eger in his Torah would somehow still be connected to Ishbitz, but very much he became the Rebbe of Lublin in Poland, and he followed in the footsteps of the great seer of Lublin, the greatest of the Polish Rebbes. And his Torah really reflects the Torah of Lublin rather than the Torah of Ishbitz. And so, just to give you a taste, he says, first of all, this week's Sedra is the sixth of the Sedras in the book of Deuteronomy. So six, number six, is always a reference to Midas Yisod, which is the sephira that deals with sexuality, the conduit through which everything flows. It's also the 49th Sedra in the Torah. So it has a really profound significance. And he says that the main war that we each have as individuals is the war is to see one's sexuality as the enemy, you know, which is, you know, the reason I'm bringing it up here is because it's very different from how Ishbitz sees sexuality. But Reb Leib Eger, his whole Torah, there are three volumes of this Torah's Emes, and basically, all his Torah deals with two issues: Mila, circumcision, or the Sefira of Yesod, and Shabbos. So all his Torah is really about Mila and Shabbos. And it's surprising how vast and how deep and how insightful, you know, he can be just about these two mitzvahs, and how he can find connection, because they're about connection. In every Sedra, in every Yontif, in every Shabbos, he's always got something to say. But here in this week, I feel like it's important to lay it out how Reb Leib Eger says. He says, a person thinks that sexual pleasure is a good thing. Therefore, the Torah commands us to go out. Ki seitzei lamelchama, you have to go out to war. And if you really go out to war, which is that you are battling your own self, you refuse to accept that pleasure is good, that sexual pleasure is a good thing. You refuse, you see that as the enemy. So he goes on in this vein. He says, and God will put it into your hands and you'll be successful. We learn Ishbitz. We've never come across such an idea that pleasure has to be, you have to see through the pleasure and see that it's really an enemy, or, you know, we didn't learn such a thing in Ishbitz. And I want to learn this week the Torah of the son of the Ishbitzer, the Neus Desha, the Rebbe of Biskovitz. He says, when you go out to war against your enemy and you see amongst his captives this beautiful woman, he says, what does this Torah, what is this parasha, this commandment, this one of the 613 commandments, what does it have for us in this day and age? This Torah either is forever or it's got no meaning at all. It's, if it's nitzchi, if it's eternal, how does this apply? Rashi says, he brings the Rashi. Rashi says, when the Torah tells us that you can take this beautiful woman as a wife, then really the Torah is only Dibro Torah Keneged Yetzahara. the Torah is only speaking against the Yetzer Hara. Rashi doesn't really explain. He's bringing the Sifri. He doesn't really explain what this comment means. Most people translate it to mean that the Torah, that God sees that the soldier in the heat of battle, if he's, you know, taken the city or the town or whatever it is that they were fighting, that the blood is, you know, so much there's so much rage or whatever it is that is going on inside the soldier, that there's no point in forbidding rape. You gotta. So the Torah, you know, is trying to find a way of taking this bloodlust or whatever it is that the soldier now has unleashed inside himself and channel it in a halachic way. So of course, as soon as something becomes a mitzvah, you don't want to do it. That's a really simplistic understanding of what Rashi means. But Rashi doesn't really explain. He says the Torah is speaking keneged yetzahara. So the Rebbe asks here, well, how come the Torah doesn't do it anywhere else? You know, how come the Torah doesn't say, oh, well, if you find a piece of chazer on the street, I'm going to find you a kosher way of eating the chazer? How come there's no other scenario where the Torah says, well, let me give you an out. Let me give you a kosher way of doing this. Only this one? So he explains it like this. There's a Torah from the Rebbe Rabbinim of Pshischa, who was the Rebbe of his father. There's a verse in Proverbs. It's in Ecclesiastes, Koheles, chapter 7, verse 10. Al toima mehoyu shehayomim horishonim hoyetovim me'ele. Don't say, what is it that the early days used to be better than these days? Because if you're asking this question, you're not being wise. This idea that somehow you look back with nostalgia and everything in the olden times was better, and you say, why, how come in the olden times things were better than they are now? So the Koheles, Ecclesiastes, is saying, you're not asking out of wisdom. So the Rebbe Rabbinim says, I want to give you a key to the worship of God. He says, imagine a father, he wants to give his daughter a beautiful set of pearls, pearl necklace, pearl earrings, whatever it is, pearl bracelet. But he doesn't know if she can take care, if she's responsible enough to be given such an expensive and precious gift. So what does he do? He gives her some fake pearls, right? He gives her some paste, plastic, whatever it is they call it today, mock pearls. And then he sees how she can be responsible for these. And if she could be responsible with this fake pearls, then he gives her real pearls. He says, this is how it is in the worship of God. When a person comes to worship God, the first thing is, you have a lot of passion. You get tremendous, tremendous cheshek. A person who, I guess, anybody who turns away from what they were doing in the world and focuses on, you know, trying to establish a relationship with God, in the beginning there's a tremendous charge, there's tremendous power. A person finds in themselves all this previously dammed up energy that had nowhere to go, that now begins to flow, and it's a very big high. And a person can then get caught up in this spiritual high, and within a short time the person believes he's a chosid, right? He's like, I'm doing a lifnim mishur sidin, I'm going beyond the letter of the law, I'm making this my life, I'm living this spiritual path. And it's really easy to feel that you've got it. The heart burns like a fire for God. Everything in the world that once seemed important, money, relationship, status, whatever it is, just seems like, it's nothing compared to this journey that I'm now on to confront myself and God and to establish a relationship. A person can really get caught up in it. And the whole world just seems like nothing. It's like, it's like a shadow. It's like it all turns gray and colorless in comparison to the vivid colors of the journey. So the Rebbe Rabbinim says, and it's not true, because this is all a gift that a person is being given from heaven, and it's a test. It's a test. These feelings that we get, this spiritual high that we get, it's a test. Can we see through it? And what are we going to do with it? So the Rebbe Rabbinim goes on to say, this is the meaning of the verse in chapter 7 of Ecclesiastes, Al Toima, don't say, what's happened? Those days that used to be, they are so much better than these days. Because you're not asking out of wisdom. So the Rebbe says, when you start out in your spiritual journey, you get given stuff from heaven. And these are gifts. It's an awakening. It's a desire, the ability to just turn to become a worshiper. It's something that comes to you. And if you have any seichel, if you have any understanding and insight, you learn something not from the feeling. You learn something from the journey. You take precious things from what is happening to you, and you take them and you guard them, and then what has happened to you is good for you. But if you own this journey as yours, and you feel that somehow in turning away from the world and turning to God, you did the right thing, and the rewards for doing the right thing with these feelings, these spiritual highs, that it's nothing, it's meaningless. And if you can't take the essential and invest all your desire and power and longing into it, so you have to be able to, first of all, you have to be able to separate out what's real, what's not real, and then you have to be able to take the essentials and invest them somehow, or invest yourself in them somehow, so that long after those feelings, those highs, are gone and worn down and diluted and just a memory, that something of that remains with you. Then it'll be Hashem nosan v'Hashem lokach, like the Job said, God gave and God took away. That's it. You don't have it anymore, and the person finds that they're empty of that spirituality that they had. It's gone, and then he has all these regrets, and then he says, "Oh, there was a time when I was so spiritual," and that's what the meaning of this verse is. And so the Ecclesiastes says, "Don't say, oh, what happened to those days? Those days were so much better than these days." If you're thinking that way, you missed it. You missed it at the time, and you're missing it now. He says, in the end of the verse, "Ki lo me chochma sha'alto al zeh," because it's not out of wisdom that you're asking this. The Rebbe has a new translation. He says, "Ki lo me chochma." The fact that you had those spiritual highs and you got such a tremendous kick out of worshiping God, it was never because of anything that you, in your chokhmah and your wisdom, acquired. Sho'alto alze doesn't mean you asked, but sho'alto, you borrowed. You borrowed it. It was all lent to you. God lent it to you. And if you think it's yours, then it gets taken away. It was just something you borrowed. Something from heaven that was lent to you. So the Rebbe, the Ishbitzer, he says, let's look at our Sedra, let's look at our parasha of the Ufastoya, of this beautiful woman. Just by the way, there are, the Rebbe Rabbinim, he's called the Rebbe Rabbinim because there were seven Rebbes who were known as the Rebbe Rabbinim, because they were like the Rebbe of Rebbes, right? Many of his students themselves became Rebbes, big Rebbes. And most of his students who became Rebbes at one point or another, they refer to this Torah. They refer to this Torah of don't talk about how in the early days everything was better. And most of them say they interpret the Rebbe Rabbinim to mean that, like, God lends you stuff, like a father who lends money to his child, and he wants to see how his child invests that money. If his child invests the money properly, then the father will probably never ask for the money back, because the son's doing good business with it. If the son takes the money and goes to Cancun or goes to Atlantic City with the money, then the father's going to say, hey, give me the money back, that was a loan, right? Most of the Talmidim of the Rabbinim understood this Torah this way, that somehow God gives us something precious, and if we just assume that it's ours in some way and we use it as though it's ours, and then it gets taken away and it gets taken back. But that's really interesting, because that's not what the Rebbe Rabbinim said. He said a man wanted to give his daughter something precious, but he didn't know whether she was responsible enough to own something precious, like really beautiful pearls, so he gave her something fake. And that's something that all the students of the Rebbe Rabbinim who quote this Torah, they miss that. They miss that point. That the Rebbe Rabbinim is saying that our spirituality has something fake. The basis of it is something fake, because it is just a forerunner of the spirituality that we're going to be given, and we're only given this spirituality. Yesterday's spirituality is fake. I have to see it as fake, because I have to keep on thinking in terms of the spirituality that I'm trying to achieve. One of the tests is not just how carefully I take care of these false pearls, right? But also my appreciation of pearls in general. The girl doesn't really get the real pearls until she's old enough to know that these that she's been taking care of so carefully were actually paste. So the Rebbe says like this. What is this mushel? What is this parable, right? That everybody, most of the Talmidim of the Rebbe Rabbinim have gotten it wrong. They think that God is giving us something precious, and if we think that it's ours, he takes it away. But he says God is giving something worthless. What is that? So he says, when we are young, like we're 6, 7, 8 years old, really, there's a process that we go through where we get taught by everybody around us that we're not the center of the universe, that other people also have needs, other people also have feelings. We need to be socialized, right? The baby just cries, doesn't really care if mother's asleep, you know, gimme, 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 right? That we go from being gimme, 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 you know, to can we share? Can I also have? What do I need to do to be given? But then something happens to us, and we hit puberty, and then something happens to us that we are capable of being completely selfless, or if not exactly selfless, we are capable of turning away from things that we thought were important and focusing like a laser on something, on one individual. If I'm a boy, I can focus like a laser on this girl, and I don't care about my schooling, I don't care about my dinner, I don't care about my homework, I don't care about my family. I'm focused like crazy. Where does this come from? So the Ishvitzer says, this is what the Rebbe Rabbinim is talking about. This ability to think of the whole world as nothing, as completely unimportant, because it's not the thing that I'm focused on. Those are the false pearls. Those are the gifts that God gives us. That ability to become so passionate, to have so much longing and desire and craving, and to become like romantic and to become poetic and to become, you know, fierce and savage and ferocious, to go for this, to think the whole world nothing, only the prize. Those are the false pearls. That's the gift that God gives us. And if a person has that ability and doesn't take it and store it up for later, here we are, however old we are, middle-aged, late middle-aged, getting old, do we still have that ability? Do we still have the koyach to turn away from the world and go completely nuts over one focused thing? Do we have that ability anymore? If we don't have that ability, what are we saying? Then we're saying, oi, mahoyu ayomim horishoinim. Those early days, they were so good. We were able to focus. At which the Ecclesiastes says, yilei mechochma, that wasn't you who was able to focus. Sha'alto alze, that was a gift that God lent to you. If you don't find it in yourself now to be able to focus that way, to be able to chase something that way, to be able to turn away from everything and ignore it and have your mind on this one thing, you know why it is? It's because you didn't save any of it. You thought you would always have it. That's the great tragedy, that when we're young, we think that our koichos, we think that our potential, our power, our abilities, that they're innate in us, and that we'll always have them. And when the time comes, you know, and we need to do important things, we'll be able to call on this personality trait, this characteristic that we have, to go really, to go for it, right? But because we didn't practice it for years and years and years, when the moment comes and we need to go for the really important prize, we don't have it inside us anymore. Because, why? It was only borrowed. So the Rebbe says this is the meaning of this week's Seder. When you go out to war on your enemy, what enemy? It doesn't really matter when you're young what your enemy is. And God will put this enemy into your hand. And you see in among the captives this really beautiful woman. I mean, this is how we are. This is how we as human beings, this is how we become capable of expanding and moving out and becoming who we really can become. because we see these beautiful things that we want, these beautiful people that we want to be, or whatever it is. And then he says, and this is the meaning of Rashi. Rashi says, why is this all keneged yetzahara divrei Torah? The Torah is talking about the yetzahara. You know what the yetzahara is? The yetzahara is what we encounter at the end of the Sedra, Amalek. Ashikarcha Amalek cools us off. That's really what Amalek was capable of doing. You know, Amalek is the one who, every time you want to do something good, he says, well, how long do you think this is going to last, right? You know, Amalek is the one who stands there next to the chuppah, and the chosen and kala are just coming smiling out of the chuppah, and he's the one who says, yeah, how long do you think this marriage is going to last? Amalek is the one who cools us off. That's the real Yetzirah. That's the real evil inclination. And so the Torah gives us the parasha of Yifas Torah. The Torah tells us, listen, when you're young and you have these paradigms of the war and the beautiful captive that you fall in love with, what's the end? V'shilachtu l'nafsha. Send her away. Let her go. She never was the prize. You know what the prize is? The prize is the passion, the ability to go to war and focus and fight for what you want with single-minded and single purpose and single focus. That's the prize. And so the Torah says, and this is what the Rebbe Rabbinim is saying, if you think it was all about yesterday and what was going on yesterday, then you missed it. They were just false pearls anyway. Whatever spirituality you had yesterday, just think of it as paste. Don't look back and say, oi, gewalt, it was so great. Why can't I be like that anymore? It's shtuyot. It was nothing. It was garnished. And I know that great rebbes who would like, when they would daven, right, it's like you think you were in another world completely when you daven with them. And as soon as they finish davening, while they were davening, it's clear that they were on the highest heights. It's like they were, as soon as it's like, that was nothing. Why are they belittling it? Because as soon as it's over, that was, God gave me something. It was false. Because God wants to give me the real thing. So I need to, this is the real meaning of this Torah of the Rebbe Rabbinim. I have to keep on thinking of everything that I did yesterday. It was nothing. It was just God testing me to see whether I'm capable of, you know, really taking care of something precious. You know what's precious? What God's going to give me in the future. Because it's so easy to always think of the spirituality that we had once upon a time as what's precious, and the state that we're in now as being completely bereft and completely meaningless, and oi, when we were young we were so holy. If I'm thinking like that, it's loy mechachma. You know, that's what the Ecclesiastes is saying, and that's what the Rebbe Rabbinim is saying, that thinking that way means A, that what you had was worthless, and B, that where you are now is really stupid. Because you have to think, yeah, it was gewalt, but it was false. The real deal, the real spirituality, you know what that is? That's the one that I want in the future, not the one that I had in the past. It's gornish. The one that I had is nothing. The one that I want, Rabbeinu Shlomo, Master of the Universe, I know how to treasure. I know how to take care of it. You've seen how I took care of it, I hope. So open me up. I'm ready. Please open me up. I can show you how focused I am. I can show you how I go and I leave everything in the world for what is beautiful and for what is holy. I bless you and me. Every minute of every day, we should be ready just to let everything go and follow God into the wilderness with a single-minded, single purpose, single focus, and that we should recognize in ourselves that we have that ability, and not to despair and say, oh, when I was young I had that ability, now I don't have it. To realize that we've stored up inside us a lot of talents, a lot of abilities, and a lot of practice that we have of coming back from the doldrums, from the moichin de katness, from the small-mindedness, and climbing back up to moichin de gadness, to the great mind where we're capable of doing things for God and experiencing salvation. Shkoyach.